Greeting the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles turned to John chapter 5, verse 24 to 29. The resurrection of the just. John 5, 24 to 29. Resurrection is not reincarnation. Reincarnation is a false teaching, it's a deception of the evil one, which has given rise to a lot of superstition and wrong living and false hope. Some people believe that if they live a good life, when they die, they will be reincarnated into a higher being. It is a lie of Satan. The resurrection that the Bible speaks of in John 5 is also not like the resurrection of the Shunammite son in the days of Elisha. Neither could it be compared with the resurrection of Lazarus. For in these two resurrections, they were given the mortal body to die again. This resurrection of the just, as recorded for us in John chapter 5, verse 29, is the final resurrection. There will be nothing beyond this. After this, there will be no more death after this resurrection of the just. If you want to find out more about the resurrected body, you do not find it in this passage. You find it in 1 Corinthians 15. If you want to know what do you do after the resurrection, you find it in Revelation 19, 20, 21, and 22 of the book of Revelation. If you want to know immediately what happened after the resurrection of the just, you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In this particular passage, it doesn't teach us about the other aspects of the resurrection of the just. You can find it in some other texts of the Bible. But in this context of John chapter 5, these were the words of the Lord Jesus Christ after the enemies of Christ chastised Him, scolded Him, castigated Him for healing on the Sabbath day. And then to make matters worse, the Lord Jesus Christ makes certain bold declarations that they wanted to condemn Him, saying that He made Himself equal with God in verse 18. And so they wanted to kill Him. And that gave rise to what the Lord Jesus Christ started to say in verse 19. Where He basically revealed to us the mission of the Son in relation to God the Father. And then He now tells us from verse 24, basically how does a person enter into the resurrection or participate in the resurrection of the just. Basically, that's the thrust of this few verses, culminating in the resurrection of the just. And I pray and hope that you would have this desire to participate in this resurrection of the just. Because if you do not, the alternative is the resurrection of the damned. There are only two kinds, the just or the damned. So how does one participate in the resurrection of the just? The answer is found in verse 24. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Verily, verily," that means, "surely, surely, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," not what these attackers of Christ have done thus far in his ministry. He had done many miracles before this incident. For very soon after this, in chapter 6, you'll find the feeding of the 5,000. And if you compare the parallel account in the other Gospels, and you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll find that quite a number of other miracles the Lord Jesus Christ had already performed. So it was not just one particular incident, it was a series of incidents that culminated in this terrible confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ gave these words to them. "He that heareth my word," doesn't matter who you are, including the Pharisees, including the high priests, if only you will listen to the word of Christ, This word here is more than just listening. It means accepting, receiving, allowing the word to transform your life. You believe in the word, whereby the present life will now be lived in light of God's word, in light of what Christ has revealed to us. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. That means believed what the Bible said concerning how the Father sent the Son. He is the Son of God. And now he was in their presence, the Son of Man incarnate. He took on the form of human flesh. Why did he do that? Because he came to die for man. In order for someone to die for man, that someone must take on the form of man, because an animal cannot die for man, because animals were not made in God's image. Angels cannot die for man, because angels were not made in God's image. It has to be someone who is also made in our image. Could he ever die for us who are made in God's image? And that's why God the Father sent the Son into this world to take on the form of a man, even that of a servant, the Bible tells us. He humbled himself and he came into this earth to do his many miracles, to attest one truth, that he is indeed the Son of God, that he is indeed the Son of Man. I am more than just the son of a carpenter. I am more than just a man from Nazareth. I am God himself. That was the message. And the message was very clear, so much so that even the enemies of Christ understood the message. And that's why they said he made himself equal with God. And they could not accept that. But Jesus says, unless you accept this truth, you believe that I am a teacher, not good enough. You believe that I am a holy man, not good enough. You believe that I am a prophet, I'm a miracle worker, not good enough. You must believe that I am the Son of God, which means equal with God. There are many who believe that Jesus Christ existed as a historic figure. Not good enough for salvation. You must believe that he is the Son of God. You believe that he is the greatest prophet? Not good enough. The meekest man on earth? Not good enough. As an example for us to follow? Not enough, Jesus says. You must believe what the Father said about me. And the Father said, he was sent by God the Father himself, the Father says. And that makes him the Son of God himself. And unless and until we believe this, you have no salvation. You believe in the name Jesus Christ. You spell the same way, you sound the same way, but unless and until he is the Son of God to you, you have no salvation. This was what Jesus said to them. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. You must believe that God sent his only begotten Son, the Son of God, to become the Son of Man, to die for your sins and for my sins. That is the only way, from your heart. And many millions whose lives have been touched by this truth. The greatest persecutor of the church, Saul, was touched by this truth. And his life was totally, completely transformed by the power of the word of Christ. It is a power that transformed us from inside out. That's why the word used is everlasting life. All we need to do is believe. Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Instantaneously, you will be delivered from this spiritual bondage called sin, which has enslaved us all our life on this earth until the day when you are born again, until you truly accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is salvation. So the first point toward the journey of receiving the resurrection of the just is salvation. Doesn't matter who you are, what sins you may have committed, how grievous the sins might be, you may be the worst serial killer on this earth. And if you truly, sincerely, humbly receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believe that he is the Son of God who became man to die for your sins, rose again for your justification, you will have everlasting life. And Jesus says, you will not come unto condemnation. Free, delivered, because your sins have been forgiven. Christ took the punishment on your behalf. That's the first step toward receiving the resurrection of the just. If this step is not taken, you don't have it. You don't have it at all. Doesn't matter what kind of good works you do. If you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, no count. You will not experience the resurrection of the just. It is an act of God. It is God alone who makes no mistakes, who will bring this to pass. This simply means that all believers, when they die the physical death, they must first experience the spiritual birth, where they are delivered from the spiritual death instantaneously, the moment they become Christians. Spiritual death is no more. So much so that even when we die the physical death, this is our hope, this is our promise, this is God's guarantee. You have been delivered from death unto life. Don't have to be afraid. That's why the word used to describe every believer who dies in the Lord, you are asleep. You are not really dead. You are only sleeping. And like everyone who sleeps, you wake up the next morning, the next day. That's the power of God. The power of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Theologians call it the day death died, when the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins and my sins. And this is God's promise. In the face of his enemies, in the face of those who wanted to kill him, the Lord Jesus Christ extended to them hope. The Lord Jesus Christ extended to them deliverance from the bondage of sin, that they may open their eyes and see. Sure, later on in the tail end of Christ, 3.5 years of ministry on earth. For he entered the ministry at the age of 30. He was crucified around the age of 33 plus. He will use very strong words to rebuke them, hoping that by these strong words, such as, hypocrite, you whitewash a sepulchre, you look so good on the outside, but inside you are nothing but dead man's bones. But at this early stage of his ministry, he reached out to them. He doesn't care who they are. They needed salvation like everyone else, and he extended this salvation to them the way that he's extended it to us tonight. Strip ourselves naked of all the accolades of the world. We are nothing. Beggars. That's what we are. Forget about the millions. Forget about where you live. Look into our depths of our hearts. We are all sinners, condemned. And please don't think that our sins are small sins just because we are not criminals. God looked at sin so different from the laws of the land. Do you know what is God's punishment for those who curse father or mother? Death penalty. Those who smite father or mother, death penalty. Have we not cursed our father or mother? Have we not spoken ill of them behind their backs? As far as God is concerned, that requires the death penalty. You study Exodus chapter 21, the application of the Ten Commandments. We bear false witness all the time. We have sinned against God, we have sinned against one another. And do not treat sin lightly, because if sins are so lightly dealt with, you think God would send His only begotten Son into this world to die a most painful and abusive death such as crucifixion? He would never have done so. There was no plan B. Jesus Christ was the only one in all the whole universe, in all the world, who could come down and die for you and for me. Nobody else could. No one except the Lord Jesus Christ. And He did it. We don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. And yet He did it nonetheless. Would you send someone to die for your son? Would you die for your son? Yes, I think every parent would. But would you die for your enemies? Would you die for your mortal enemies? We won't even give our enemy the time of day. Don't talk about dying for our enemies. But that is exactly what God's love did. When we were His enemies, the Bible said the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. Not when we are His sons and daughters, when we were His enemies. We cannot understand and imagine this kind of love. So undeserving are we. And yet God offered this to everyone. He that heareth my word, you come. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God said, you will have life everlasting. And you will be spared immediately from condemnation, and you have been passed from death unto life. And then verse 25 to 26 describe the kind of life that we need to live to demonstrate the kind of salvation that we have received from Christ. And that is called sanctification. Salvation, now we have sanctification, the kind of renewed life, changed life, transformed life, where the inside has been changed and be now called the Christ-like. Therefore, the outward life that we live must reflect the inward power of God that now works in us daily with the indwelling of the Spirit of God. The Bible here says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. That means he's referring to his soon coming death, couple of years down the road. And now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. What kind of death is the Lord Jesus Christ referring to? I believe it refers to those who are spiritually dead. They will hear this voice, and they that believe shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. That means all those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ will have this life. Jesus promised the disciples abundant life later on in the Gospel of John chapter 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill, to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That is the life that we have on this earth now. It is not just when we are glorified at the point of resurrection, then we know that we are children of God, then our life is meaningful. God says, don't have to wait that long. The moment you become a Christian, your life and my life has been completely transformed. Your ambitions will be changed. Your outlook toward life will be changed. Everything will be so different. Not that the world has changed. The world is still as wretched, as wicked, as immoral as before. But because you are changed, now you look at the world with new eyes. Change completely. You don't look at the world like before any longer. You don't see the world as a place where it is like a gold mine where you can dig and keep whatever you can get out of it. It is no more a world where you last time used to try to climb the ladder of the corporate world and grab as much material things as possible. Now that your eyes have been opened, have been washed, you can see beyond the materialistic world. You see all these as vanity of vanities. It is emptiness. You will not be like a dog going back to its own vomit. The old way of life, the life of immorality, of cheating, of deceit, of lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life are things of the past. You don't want to go back and enjoy this kind of life. To you, these are things to be rejected completely. You count them as dung. And the accolades of the world, the things that used to consume you, you now see them as nothing but refuse. That's the transformation, the kind of life that God has promised us. Not wait until you enter into heaven, then your life in Christ begins. Right at the very moment you truly, sincerely accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your life is changed. You begin to honor your father and your mother. The last time you can't stand them, you get irritated by them. They ask you to do this, to do that. You talk back to them. You have no joy in obeying them. But surely and slowly, after you have been saved by Christ, you begin to honor them, to love them, to listen to them, to obey them, happily, cheerfully, transformed by the power of God, so much so that the Bible here says, you have life in Christ, the abundant life in Christ. You know why a dog goes back to his own vomit? You know what vomit is like, right? It's filth. But a dog will go back to it. That's what the book of Proverbs says. But the Bible says that we are Christians. You have been delivered from this wretched, evil, sinful life that caused the life, blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Now that you say that you have believed in Him, you have received Him into your heart as your Lord and as your Savior, do you think it is right for you to go back and swim in that kind of filth, in that kind of lifestyle all over again? Jesus says, never. As the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. God the Father hath life. They are the life-giving God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In their hands is life. By their spoken word, everything on this earth came out of nothing. And God gave the power to the Son. The Son has the same power to give life to all who believe. This is the evidence that you and I need to examine our own hearts. If you say that you are truly born again, have an honest evaluation of your life. Very plainly, very simply, without deception, just look at your own life. Look at the motives behind your life. The motives behind your action. The motives behind you going to work day after day. The motive behind you working so hard. Find out the real motive. Be honest, because the loser will be you and nobody else. If you want to live the life of a hypocrite, if you want to pretend, you just want to dress up and play Christianity, the Lord knows. If you have any hidden sins, you have to repent and confess them before the Lord and before the person whom you have sinned against. Don't hide. The loser is you. And you will not want to find out on the day of judgment that you have not and will not participate in the resurrection of the just, and what you will have to wait for is the resurrection of the damned. And when that day comes, everything will be so frightening, and it will be too late to repent when that day comes. The day of salvation and repentance is right now. And don't even wait until tomorrow. Don't even wait until you leave this sanctuary, because it is that urgent. It is as urgent as right now. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you truly have confessed your sins and accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, then God says you have this abundant life. You will not go back to the old life, the way of the old man, with the carnal ambitions, caring only for the things of this world and how to destroy others in order to climb the ladder of success as described by the world. The resurrection of the just is a blessed and a wonderful hope. But it is a hope that is given only to those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, and who is evidenced by a life of transformation that has been changed, a life of joy, a life that is eternal, a life that pursues after the things that are heavenly, not earthly. Please don't play Christianity. We live in a world where Christianity is so diluted, we cannot take anything for granted. Because the price, the cost is too high. It's eternal destination as a damned person or as a just person in the sight of God. That's why it is so important and so serious that you and I, each and every one of us, must stand naked before God and examine our own hearts. Do you know this life that the Bible speaks of in verse 25 and 26? Do you know this abundant life? That if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, just as God the Father has the power to give life, this same power has been given to the Son, that if you truly receive Him as your Lord and your Savior, you too have this life? Do you have this life? Because that's exactly what the Bible says. Now we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God, not at the point of our resurrection, but right now. Right now. And if you choose otherwise, if you choose to remain in your sin and to hide from God, thinking that no one knows, my sins are so heinous and so terrible, I don't want anyone to know. The only one that you should be concerned with is God. He knows. You and I can't hide from Him. And so the Bible tells us from verse 27 to 29, and He had given Him authority to execute judgment. You don't want His life? Then you will have to face His judgment because of sin. Because of sin that continued to hold sway and master over your soul and to my soul. You have been struggling with sin, and sin has always been the master. You don't want to accept the life-giving blood of Christ as the one who will wash you of all your sins. And you want to remain in your sin, and you remain in filth and immorality. And you refuse to deal with it. And you think that you can get away with it. And have given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Notice the change. Verse 25, how did God call him? The Son of God. Now notice that the Lord Jesus Christ is now speaking in the third person. He's describing himself. He's not describing another person. Son of God, in verse 25, judgment, Son of Man. And he will judge. And he has every right to judge. Why? Because he became the Son of Man. He had every right to judge before he became the Son of Man as God himself. But now that he had come as our Savior and we spurned him and rejected him, basically we are telling God, God, you are a liar. We don't need your Son. We can save ourselves. We don't need him. And you think that by doing this to God, after what God had done for you and for me by sending his only begotten Son to die for us, and then we cast it aside and we spurn it and we throw him back at his face? And you think God will just sit back and do nothing when we continue to wallow in our sin and then to die in our sin, and then we think we can escape his judgment? Let us not fool ourselves. It is terrible enough to fall into sin and to die in our sin. It is double tragedy on our part to spurn the only way that we can be delivered from this terrible state that we are in, the state of sin. And to cast and to throw away back into the face of God the salvation that God did for us by sending his only begotten Son. I won't give my Son to die for any one of you. I'm sure you know that, right? Of course, the Son there includes my daughter, just to make sure. True? God the Father did. And when we don't even know him, when we hated him, when we despised him, but he did it anyway. That's how much he loved us. How would you feel if you give someone a gift and the person looked at the gift, didn't even bother to open the gift and throw it back in your face? I don't want it. I'm not interested. But it's a precious gift. I don't care. It's a very good gift. I spend a lot of time planning, buying. I don't care. I'm not interested. How would you feel? You spend so much time out of love for that person to take the trouble to hunt high and low and to spend so much expense just to buy that gift, and then hoping that this person will receive with joy, with gladness, at least with a thank you. Take it, don't even bother to open it, throw it back at your face. You feel hurt? Sure, we will feel pain in our hearts, especially when you love that person and the person did that to you. How do you think God feels? That kind of unconditional sacrificial love. And our love is conditional and our love is tainted by our sin, and yet we can feel the pain. How much more God the Father, when you reject his offer of life, do not be shocked or surprised if we receive his judgment and his condemnation. Because he is the Son of Man, God said. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. Don't delay, don't wait. Don't assume that you have a long, long life ahead of you. You wait until I retire, then I accept Jesus Christ. Not at the prime of my life. Too big a sacrifice. The Bible calls you fool. You think believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, delivered from the sin and the immorality of this world, is a sacrifice? You are just eating dog's vomit. That is no sacrifice. None whatsoever. And anyone who calls himself a Christian and wallow in sin, then you are no better than a dog. No better than a dog. A very strong term to describe professing Christians who stumble others, who present to the world a wrong image of Christ. The resurrection of the just is our blessed and wonderful hope that we look forward to. It is the message that we give at vigil services to those who are bereaved. Because no other words could ever calm their heart and their soul outside of this resurrection of the just. But the way to receive this salvation, demonstrated by a life of sanctification, and then you will get glorification. And that's the resurrection of the just. And you cannot have it without the first two. You can't have it. You can wish all you want. It will be wishful thinking. Unless you truly, sincerely accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then the fruit of salvation must be seen by your life. By your obedience to the Word of God. By your love for the things of God. By your love for worship and for the prayer and the love for the saints. These are some of the evidences of one who is truly born again. A love for the things of God. Motivated, constrained by a renewed heart. And then you will be delivered from the judgment of God because you have been spared. And marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. This is a description of the resurrection. And shall come forth they that have done good unto resurrection of life. This done good does not mean salvation by good works. This simply means the sanctified life. A life that has been changed and transformed. The evidence of one who has been saved. On the other hand, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Plain and simple. This verse will destroy those who believe in annihilation. You know there are some people who believe in annihilation. They say that if you believe not the Lord Jesus Christ, you reject Him, don't worry, there is no punishment. You just disappear into nothing. Just disappear into nothing. You mean my spirit, I just become nothing? You mean one day so and so will become nothing? Yes, that's what they believe. That's another lie, another deception. So what is the penalty for not believing in Jesus Christ? You end up as nothing. No better like a dog or a cat or a rat or a bird or a mosquito or a cockroach. Psst, nothing. So you can eat, drink and be merry and do all the sins that you want on this earth. And if I don't believe in Jesus Christ, I die, what do I become? Psst, nothing. And that's the kind of gospel you have to give to people. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will go to heaven. If you don't believe, psst, nothing. This verse tells us no such thing. Resurrection of damnation. Now what kind of body will the damned have? We do not know. The Bible did not say. But they will surely be resurrected. Read the last few verses of Revelation chapter 20. At the great white throne judgment, they will be resurrected. And by the time hell will be destroyed, death will be no more. And then they will be sent to the lake of fire where they will feel torment and intense pain for the rest of eternity. It will be a body that can feel the pain. It is a punishment that we do not wish upon anyone, not even our worst enemy. That's why it is so serious that the day of salvation is right now. For the hour is coming, not the day, not the month, not the year, the hour. That's how close it is, the Lord Jesus Christ trying to impress upon His attackers. The hour is coming. And likewise to all of us, the hour is coming. Don't assume that you even have 24-hour day. Not even one day. Hour is coming. But this whole world will become nothing to you. You stand before God as a just person because you have the righteousness of Christ inside your heart, or as a person who is damned and consigned to the lake of fire. Plain and simple as that. And there'll be no bargain, no backtalk, no excuse. You know what happened to Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts? They lied to the Holy Spirit. They sold all that they had and they presented a portion of it by giving people the impression that they gave everything. Because they wanted the accolades of men. Read the passage very carefully. Were they given any opportunity to bargain, to explain and to give all kinds of lame excuses? The moment the sentence was passed by the mouth, by the words of Peter, dropped dead. Dropped dead immediately. Few hours later, after the husband's body was carried out, the wife came along, asked the same thing, and she committed the same sin, dropped it. Dropped it. No excuse. All unacceptable. No bargaining. Right there and then, they dropped it. Gone. Could that be just a sampling of what will happen? Whether they are saved or not saved, some say yes, some say no. We do not know. But if that is a demonstration of how God will judge regarding physical death, because of the sin that they committed in the early church. The resurrection of the damned. You think your excuse will stand up before God? Life as a sinner is too great, Lord. Please wait. I cannot give up my sin. I cannot give up my alcohol. I cannot give up my gambling. I cannot give up my way of life. Too good. And so you cast and spurn the offer of salvation. And then the resurrection of the damned takes place. What do you say to God? And at this time, He will not be a God of grace and mercy. He will be just the God of who is the judge of the world. And He will pass His sentence. And you and I deserve what we will receive. Because we have no Savior. We have no advocate. We have no mediator between us and God, the Holy One. And He will send us to the lake of fire. But as long as we have this life, as long as we can breathe, God said to us, when God's offer continued to stand, He that heareth my word, doesn't matter who we are, if you hear God's word right now and you are alive, you believe in Him and you will have everlasting life. For the hour is at hand, and the resurrection of the just would be your hope, would be what awaits all of us. A day of great blessing, a day of great joy, a great reunion with all those who have died in Christ, who have gone ahead of us. And we will all stand before the Lord Jesus Christ with our resurrected body because of Jesus Christ. And our hearts will be filled with thanksgiving for what we see right now by faith. We will see by sight. And we will see heaven. We will see the glorious face of our Savior. And we will be filled with joy, with thanksgiving, with gratitude. Unspeakable. Unspeakable. And so God says, you have this salvation. Prove it by a transformed life. Not by faking it. Prove it by a transformed life that is sincere, honest, pure, clean. A life of integrity. You come for worship. You love me. You love my word. You love my people, and you obey God's word. And then what awaits us is truly the resurrection of the just. And this makes life worth living. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for this blessed and wonderful life that we can have in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, O Lord, for the resurrection of the just that awaits all of us who name the name of Jesus Christ and who know Him as our Lord and as our Savior. O Lord, what a blessed and wonderful hope You have in store for all of us. And as we wait upon that blessed and wonderful day, may this life that we live be lived to the praise and glory of Thy holy name. And make us, O Lord, witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ and soldiers of Christ in earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. And may we do so till we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. We pray, Father, for some who may be struggling with sin. May Thy Holy Spirit bring conviction and cause this person to turn from his sin and come to the Savior, that the resurrection of the just will also be his hope. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.